Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got our eye on NFL coaches today. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and it is a great debate Wednesday around here. If you want to say this is inspired by Mike McDaniel, well, then go ahead. McDaniel has been nothing short of a character ever since he got hired with the Dolphins, Pearl.
I love it now. I used to be a little annoyed by it because I'm like, focused on coaching. You know, when he would do that thing where he ran on the field and
start sprinting away from the camera,
vape on the sideline, or
that was a miserable experience.
Or get philosophical in a press conference when you're supposed to try and get through it.
Because we're another day closer to death.
Yeah, I love it.
To me, it wears really thin when you're not winning.
Yeah,
but it has inspired today's great debate. Go ahead, Manny.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, today's Great Debate question, who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time? So not the greatest NFL coach, and maybe not the most embarrassing or silly or anything like that. The biggest character, Pearl, and Mike McDaniel certainly lands on the list. He's been non-conventional, unconventional since the moment he arrived as the head coach in Miami. He's probably the first coach fired this year, barring a miracle, but he certainly has our attention.
Okay, I'm going to go full circle here. I don't know if you guys followed this media beef, but Rex Ryan on ESPN went after Mike McDaniel, called him nerd boy.
McGenius, I think, was the other.
Yeah, so Rex Ryan's father, Buddy Ryan, my former coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, former defensive coordinator for Chicago Bears, is easily the greatest character coaching has ever seen.
Some folks claim I'm hard to get along with.
That's Buddy Ryan taking a swing at Kevin Gilchrist.
Ryan's arrogant, they say.
You're better off doing it Buddy's way.
Ryan's a know-it-all.
I'm going to scream at the All-Pros. I'm going to scream at the rookies.
Hey, 55. Who you think's got this?
Hey, what the hell happened on that nickel? If Gary let him catch that ball in there.
Buddy didn't grade you like, hey, that's a plus, that's a minus, that's a zero. If you made a mental mistake, you were a dumbass.
So this coach, just to know who he is, if you're obviously a lot of people who are young, don't know much about what Buddy Ryan stood for. He put a $200 bounty on the opposing kicker who he had cut in the preseason in the Cowboys game. It became known as the Bounty Bowl and bragged about it openly. It was a better NFL. It was 1989. You could do those kind of things.
Better NFL.
And then so one of the linebackers, the kicker kicked it, just does a beeline and pancakes the kicker. And everyone's like, why'd he do that? Well, there was money involved.
Buddy, but he wouldn't stand on the field long enough. He put his big fat rear end into the dressing room.
Resent that. I've been on a diet. I lost a couple of pounds, and I thought I was looking good.
Buddy was the best. Could not win a playoff game to save his life. But he's the most aggressive coach, and he had a lot of great sound bites. That's my choice.
Buddy Ryan, we're asking, who was the greatest NFL character, coaching character of all time? Thank you to Mike McDaniel and a little Rex Ryan who got involved in that this week, got us inspired here. For me, it's a guy who is currently coaching. Did it on the college level, doing it on the pro level, Jim Harbaugh.
It's not a first down. No, where are you going? Yeah, throw it. He ran into him. False start tight end. He roughed him. What do you mean? No. Huh?
Coach, you're the best coach out of all coaches.
Feel free to get the word out on that.
Of course I like water more. I don't like water. I have a shower in it. That's about it.
This is his intensity. Don't forget when Jim Harbaugh got into it with Jim Schwartz, after a game. So always there with the dust up, but also the isms, you know, who's got it better than us? Nobody, which really was his father who came up with that, you know, saying the chickens are a nervous bird, then taking that back, saying actually he respects the chicken because how efficient the chicken is because of how many eggs that it lays. More from Jim Harbaugh. I don't take vacations. I don't get sick. I don't observe major holidays. I'm a jackhammer. He's got it all, and you're never sure what's going to come out of his mouth. The recent win over the Chiefs in Brazil, he said, we will always remember this day as one of the greatest moments in Chargers history. It was week one.
Don't you think it's interesting this lovable Jim Harbaugh is a more of a modern change? I think 10 years ago, he was considered a hardcore guy. Like, he was not likable. And then all of a sudden, like, he started being funny as all get out. He was intense. He was a pleated khakis, and he was not nice. Like, he was in San Francisco and early on in Michigan. I don't think, he was not media friendly. And then he's like, hey, you know what? Let's have some fun. And he became hysterically funny.
Yeah, not always lovable is what you're saying. And super intense. And I think to be on this list, you have to be good at what you do also. That makes you even more of a character because people have to respect you football-wise. And Harbaugh, 56-25-1. Over his NFL coaching career.
Yeah, and won a national title.
Nearly 70% and got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Michigan had not been sniffing around the title for a long time, so that was a huge deal.
Okay, we're asking who is the greatest NFL coaching character ever inspired by Mike McDaniel? Who do you got, EJ?
So, a little bit forgotten a little bit because he's been in a lot of the spotlight, but I think if you think of the 1980s and you think about some of the wacky characters that were on the sidelines. One man who liked the color black and liked cowboy boots and Elvis, maybe a little too much, comes to mind.
When I think of Jerry Glanville, I think, when did Chuck Norris try to become an NFL coach?
Anybody nervous? Anybody scared? This is NFL, which stands for not for long when you make them calls. Yeah. I'll be selling groceries.
Very, very unique guy. He would leave tickets for celebrities that had passed away, like Elvis Presley or James Dean.
Here's the ticket.
Yeah.
James Dean. We'll call for him.
Okay, we'll make sure he gets it.
Thank you very much.
Good luck today.
I mean, Jerry Glanville was something else. The minister of the Grits Blitz defense, and somebody who was actually a pretty good coach. He was really good with the Oilers, really good with the Falcons, but when it came to just characters, again, luckily for the Falcons, wore black, so it made sense. But wearing black for the Oilers, who were this light blue and red team, seemed a little interesting. And again, was this massive fan of Elvis, had all these quotables, definitely was one of the early coaches into a lot of self-promotion, definitely one of the great characters, and underrated color analyst, too, when he became a broadcaster. I love Jerry Glanville. I think he's one of the unfortunate forgotten men in the NFL. One of my favorites.
Wasn't
Jerry
he
Glanville.
Just coaching recently?
I think he was. I think he coached in college, right?
Was all the black, though, for Johnny Cash? Was that
No, he's coaching now. Northwestern Oklahoma State. He's a defensive coordinator. Yeah,
for him.
Let's get him on the show.
No, he's amazing. I'm a huge fan.
You know, it's funny. I think he's actually remembered most now for the guy who traded Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But what a character.
I think he's known most for the black.
And wearing black.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't really trade Brett Favre, though. I mean, he did, and is that what he's known for? I don't think of that at all, because yeah, Brett Favre was nothing in Atlanta. He might not even play it.
No, I understand, but that's, you know, what Favre became, a three-time MVP, Super Bowl champ. Anyway, we're asking who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time? Manny Guapo, go ahead.
I will go ahead with a gentleman who finished with a 731 career win percentage in the National Football League.
Nick Sirianni.
Boom!
Hey, throw the goddamn flag! Boom!
Relax. My God, rest his soul. Super Bowl champion. He was named the sports video game is named after him. Had an incredible career as well as a broadcaster where he was first introduced to me. I'll go with John Madden.
John Madden's a great, great example. And did you guys see the more photos from the movie set where Nick Cage is playing John Madden in the biopic?
This is one of my giant pet peeves in life.
What's that?
People are tweeting, Nick Cage is barely recognizable as John Madden, and it is so obviously Nick Cage. I'm looking at every picture. Like, if you can't tell that's Nick Cage from 10 miles away. Meanwhile, Christian Bale is playing Al Davis and is totally unrecognizable. Nick Cage looks like the guy from National Treasure playing a football coach. Anyway, but I can't wait.
I can't wait to watch John Madden steal the Declaration of Independence.
Did he gain the weight, or is it a fat suit?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think a little bit of both. I thought I read that he got, like, so he does, it's not prosthetics around his face and stuff, but I think there's an enhancement to that.
A lot of pancakes
and waffles.
And Nick Cage is also doing the next season of True Detective. Did you guys know that?
No.
He's having a full renaissance.
Good for Nick.
We are asking you today, who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time? That's our great debate. Bogues, take it home.
I'm going old school. My suggestion, I know him as a former Houston Oilers head coach, but he was also the head coach of the New Orleans Saints at one point. We all know his son, Wade. I give you Bum Phillips, a guy who coached in cowboy boots, cowboy hats, had a Texas twang, and said crazy things like this.
Some cattle you have to drive, and some cattle you have to lead. They're kind of like football players. Some of them you lead, some of them you drive.
There was also this.
Oh, I feel like I've been run over by a truck, but I feel real good.
And maybe he's most famous for saying, they say the harder we played, the behinder we got. There's also great NFL films video of him on the sidelines. So I give you Bum, and his name is Bum. Bum Phillips is one of the most colorful coaches in NFL history.
Great, great options. Is Dion now coaches with the cowboy hat on, right?
Yeah,
but not really, because
so.
You have to have the headset.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't coach with it. I see him in the practice field with it, though.
Yeah, everywhere else he's wearing the cowboy hat.
And let's not forget Shallow.
It's also an accessory for Dion. Like, if you're from Texas.
It was a lifestyle for
Bum,
yeah.
Like, if it's like equipment, that's different.
Yeah. There you go. The greatest coaching characters of all time. Did anyone think about Rex Ryan? It's one of them.
No, I did.
But not when your buddy out there.
Buddy's the OG.
He was my first guess, but then I saw Buddy Ryan, and I kind of misread the text, so that's why I went with John Madden.
Okay.
What was Rex crazy? Rex was so much more logical than his dad. His dad was a wild man. Rex was like kind of like, I think he was all for show, right?
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Rex and Rob together.
Rob's hair.
I mean, Rex, remember, he came into a press conference dressed as Rob.
Yeah, with a wig on.
Yeah, with a blonde wig on and a brown shirt.
Rex likes feet, too.
There's that.
And we know that, and he's never, ever tried to deny that he's got a foot fetish.
Well, I do
feel
like
something.
He's definitely a character, but I do feel like it's interesting we went old school because you used to be able to have a little more character as a head coach. That was a lot of, even Mike McDaniel's like a little analytics nerd.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't think there is many wild characters. I mean, Harbaugh's a great choice, but there aren't as many wild characters as there used to be. Baseball is even worse. Baseball used to have madmen running on the managers. Now you don't even know who the managers are.
No, not even. It's like the front office. It's just the manager is just the marionette.
Yeah. They've also removed so many arguments with review and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. What are you going to really? Although Aaron Boone still finds a way to get kicked out once a week.
But football is a little bit of that, where the front office, like Brian Callahan, could walk in right here, right now, and we'd say, like, are you here to fix the computers? Like, a lot of the modern coaches are...
Is Bogus training you today?
Yeah, our new update guy.
That might happen in about 3 weeks, the way Callahan coached that first game.
If he keeps telling you that an elbow down means you also need a foot, like it's a game of Twister, he's going to be in real trouble. All right, that's your great debate for today. 888-710-4ISN, the greatest NFL coaching character of all time. If we had done this with college, we also could have gotten some very fun ones.
Probably be old school, too, right? Don't you think immediately?
Yeah, Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler.
I got Mike Leach.
Yep.
Mike Leach. Talking about the great, may he rest in peace, the great, battles of all time. Talking about American history.
Modern, I think you might go with Lane, maybe.
And Gundy, right?
I'm 40.
Gundy, yeah.
Yeah.
Good right timing, on cue. Right
we like should we be friends. It. No, I'm good.
Okay. 888-710-4ISN. So you can weigh in. Who is the greatest NFL coaching character? We also have another side topic for you. How do you hold hands with your significant other? Do you interlace your fingers or do you go palm to palm?
What's wrong with you people?
So interlocking the fingers is leading by a heavy margin, 69%, 31%.
There's been research in the Bogus house. My wife asked my son to hold her hand, and she tried to interlock fingers, and he basically, like, dry heaved.
Oh, I think you say he did, like, a judo move and, like, was like, get off me.
Yeah,
like,
this is revolting. So, yeah.
Just now she did it?
Yeah. Because I asked her, I was like, just so I know I'm not crazy, like, when we hold hands, we definitely interlock fingers, right? And she goes... Not interlocking is like when you hold a child's small hand. It would be weird to do as two adults. So I said, let me introduce you to Maggie's family.
Oh, God.
It's like I know things. I know things. Oh, what about your daughter? Has she held your daughter's hand? Yeah, and I would definitely never interlock fingers with her.
No, you're
No, she's not home. She's already gone.
Oh.
Versus, yeah.
The other poll question we have for you at Maggie and Pearl on X is, will Dan Lanning still be at Oregon a decade from now? overwhelmingly, you guys are saying no. But Prof, to your point, where do you go now? Like, Oregon's one of the best places you can be at, because I imagine Phil Knight has written in to his will that Oregon gets as much money as they need from now till the end of time.
But to get the most money, don't you have to switch jobs? Isn't that the way employment works? You have to leave.
You could pretend to leave.
Yeah, but how much can you push that? And the NFL. I'm trying to find this text Maggie had about parenting that will kill you guys. You'll laugh so hard.
What was that?
Oh, it's about asking your son how his first day of school was. I died. We're talking about, yeah, because we're all at different, the three parents on this side of the glass. Just, yeah, Bogues, yeah, it was a good point because I'm like, I get nothing. I'm not only do my kids not hold my hands, I ask how was school and they say, shut up, dad. Like, it's like, there's no interest whatsoever in interacting.
Fine. But, this is what I wrote to you. Yeah. I said, archaeologists have a more accurate read on extinct dinosaurs than I have on Lucas's first day. Although I did get the whole plot to Harry the Dirty Dog. So I was like, you were paying attention. There we go.
Thank goodness.
No clue about anything else. Okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The great debate today. Who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time?
All right, Maggie, football season is here. Baseball is going on. WNBA, video games, soccer, you name it. It's on Prize Picks every day. We make choices, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Millions of users, billions of dollars awarded in winnings. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. So simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you could win big.
Okay, I was halfway there last night. Yeah. Casey Mize with the strikeouts got me. But unfortunately, Julio Rodriguez only went 1-for-4. So his hitter fantasy score was not high enough. But I'm back at it tonight with Jose Ramirez over an 8.5 hitter fantasy score, because that guy is hitting home runs like crazy right now. And maybe I'll pair it up with Kyle Freeland. And I'm going to go under less than 3.5 pitcher strikeouts. See, this is the kind of fun stuff that we get to do on Prize Picks. And you can play along with us. All the transactions on the app, they're fast, they're safe, secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks. So what do? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great Debate Wednesday. Greatest character amongst NFL head coaches of all time. It's funny. I think most of the room went old school. Kind of. I feel like Andrew Bogish, Manny, and I kind of picked. Wait, who picked Jerry Glanville?
I did.
EJ, sorry. Kind of picked the same guy. Jerry Glanville, Buddy Ryan, and Bum Phillips are all sort of these kind of cowboy 80s coaches. That was a thing, Maggie. Like, Bum Phillips wearing a cowboy hat and walking sideline was not surprising in 1985. It's like, that's how coaches roll. Now they're all kind of analytic nerds. Jim Harbaugh could have fit in the 80s. Let's face it, he's a man out of time.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to discount some of the current crop of coaches as far as characters. Now, this was inspired by Mike McDaniel because he's just like insane at the podium. But I picked Jim Harbaugh. Dan Campbell is a character.
He's definitely a character.
For sure.
I think Mike Vrabel could count. You know, he's he has his moments. Like Vrabel, it's not so much at the press conference, but Vrabel still gets out there and like goes up against his players, like tackling them. Like he's still out on the practice field trying to test people's manhood like that.
I just think of that draft where he had the guy in the freeze suit in the background doing weird stuff.
It's someone in the bathroom with the door open.
Oh God, what's the name of their first round pick again that I'm blanking on right now? The tackle from LSU.
Will Campbell?
Will Campbell. He said that for his workout, Mike Vrabel showed up in full pads and uniform to do drills with him.
That he does that.
That dude's a nut.
Exactly. We have 60. A lot of characters right now.
I think Campbell boxes out Vrabel a little bit, though, because Campbell's a little nuttier. I would say Campbell, like, kind of has that corner right now.
Who wins in a
over
fist fight?
Vrabel?
Who wins in a fist fight?
Well, that's tough. It's also it's a lifestyle for Campbell. You know, all the going forward on fourth downs and, like, the living on the edge stuff.
When Vrabel was in Tennessee, like, we didn't talk about him that much. Yeah.
And also, Campbell had to turn around, like, a losing culture, like a losing organization with the Lions.
You will admit there are a bunch of boring coaches, though, like Matt LaFleur, like those guys. Like,
oh, yeah.
There are a lot of just sort of...
Sean McDermott's like that.
Yeah, oh, my God. Sean McDermott seems wonderfully nice, but not a character.
Yeah, it feels like there are way less of those guys in the 80s. Because even the greatest coaches were, like, characters.
Landry was...
Right,
stoic and quiet, but he's a character. I mean, walked the sideline in a fedora, and he was awesome.
How about the phones? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking, who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time? Adrian is in Maryland. Hey, Adrian, who do you have?
Hey, I got, if you didn't watch the Dallas documentary, you would have never knew Barry Switzer was such a character all the way back to college. It was just, some of the stuff he said on there and the stories they told about him was so hilarious. Also, I got one more thing. I think we all got to give Brian Flores an apology about Tua, because he's really showing what he said. It's true. So we all beat Flores down for saying, you know, I didn't draft you. I didn't want to draft you. You're really not that good. Mm. And it's all coming to fruition.
Adrian, it's a good point. I mean, you and I maybe will disagree that, like, do you also have to realize as a head coach, like, some guys you really have to give, like, a pat on the back, and some is, like, a smack in the, you know, in the behind. And, like, to understand that, is it also Brian Flores' fault to understand what would motivate Tua? And obviously it wasn't being so hard on him. Some guys can take that kind of coaching, some can't. Also, Tua came from Nick Saban, who I'm sure was not exactly easy to play for.
I think also, too, my critique of Flores is, like, he ran that team like a defensive coordinator. Like, you have this sort of Ferrari offense. Like, Flores did not fit. They drafted Tua, and they were going to make him, like, a high-flying offense, and Flores is like, I want to win with defense. That was a bad marriage.
No, he's been excellent, though, as a defensive coordinator. I imagine he would get another job, but, you know, how he handled the Tua thing also might stand in his way still, but maybe it shouldn't. And then Barry Switzer, probably. I know you watched the Jerry documentary, like, 14 times. You first meet Barry Switzer, in this documentary, and he's, like, flipping off the camera, which is just kind of hilarious.
I used to work with a guy named Spencer Tillman, who's on a longtime color commentator. He's great. He was with Barry Switzer at Oklahoma and would tell all these stories. He was literally God at Oklahoma. He had a button. He had all these buttons around his office so he could make doors close. And then he played for Glanville, he said Glanville was even crazier than Switzer. He came into the pros to play for Glanville, who was great. But yeah, that's old school, baby. College coaches from the 70s and 80s. I mean, there was... There's no stopping them. They were basically sort of gods on campus. I love Barry Switzer. And you're right. The doc, did you know all that about Barry Switzer? I did not.
No, it is very fun. We'll go back through another time on that. George is in LA, wants to talk about the other topic we were talking about. Do you, when you hold hands with your significant other, do you interlock your fingers or do you just go palm to palm? Apparently it's called waffles versus pancakes, which on a morning show certainly got our attention. What's up, George?
Well, good morning, you guys. I used to until I got into UFC when I was younger, and they teach you never interlock your fingers, because if you're not ready, you can break your hand, break your fingers, break your wrist. Pretty dangerous situation.
With a significant other, you're going to break your hand?
No, but it just sticks with you, man, when you're trained that way. When you grab somebody's hand or you're holding hands, you just the palm, because it's hard to explain, but it's like almost like military training, you know, and you don't want to go there, you know, that thing. I know it sounds weird, but it's almost instinct to survive.
Interesting. Wait, is this a military thing or a football thing? Because we know you were a football player in college.
Well, after I left football, I got into a lot of stuff, military and also UFC and government stuff. But besides that, it's almost instinct to survive. Not to interlock fingers. I know with the females different, but, you know, even some females that might surprise you.
George, you are the man of mystery. Thank you for that.
That took a very dark turn.
She could be a spy. You don't know. How well do we know the people we're sleeping next to?
Break the hell out of your fingers.
Yeah.
I know George is like, hey, I feel really good about the Rams this week against the Seahawks. I did not know that he was basically dark ops.
There's one thing that I once heard on a military thing, like a CIA type thing that I follow as a civilian. I have no training whatsoever, but something that always stood with me, which is apparently you're not supposed to stop your car very close to the car in front of you.
Yeah.
Because if you ever needed to get away.
Yeah, bro.
And like you'd be trapped. So yeah. I still follow that. I will not stop. I usually leave like 10 feet at least behind me in another car.
10 feet might be egregious, but yes, leave some space. Well, obviously, yeah. You gotta
my driving instructor taught me you have to see the back of their tires because young drivers tend to rear end people.
That's
because they are not good.
anyone else get any pseudo military training?
Mine was on the FBI.
Interlock fingers.
I'm sorry. I'm caught. I have a list of the angriest NFL coaches of all time. By the way.
Oh, can I guess who's number one?
Yeah, please.
Bill Parcells.
Parcells is no.
This
is
dumb. Belichick.
No, this is a dumb list. For some reason, Cowher was number one. I don't know when this was written.
Kind of looks like Sergeant Slaughter.
But there are a lot of characters. Ditka is number two. We talked about him. He has not come up. And Denny Green, Jim Mora, Bill Parcells is three. Those are a lot of characters. Like Ditka, maybe we're not giving him enough love.
Well, let's go to Mike in Syracuse. Wanted to bring up Mike Ditka. Why do you think he's the greatest football character of all time, Mike?
Well, he's pretty much responsible for a running gag on like Saturday Night Live with the late George Wendt and Chris Farley with the Bears super fan.
The Bears.
There you go. Now, the one thing that I would always like to bring up whenever we talk about characters and head coaches in the NFL is John McKay's first year with Tampa Bay.
Mm. Yeah.
He was famously asked about his team's execution, and his answer was, I'm all for it.
Yeah, do you know Brian Kelly, I think, tried to pull off like a send-up to John McKay, and he did it in a way that was so awkward.
I'm here with my family.
And it didn't land. Mike, that's a great one. And, you know, I remember one of the episodes of the Bears super fans where they're like, we're going to answer questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. I said, Bears are flying to the Bears flying to LA for a game. Whole plane crashes. Only person who survives is Ditka. Ditka by 30.
My favorite was, all right, Ditka's in the Indy 500 this weekend, driving the team bus.
Bears.
By the way, I thought about John McKay because I love the execution line.
Yeah.
And I'm Googling, is John Robinson a great NFL character? I got him confused with John Robinson, the former Rams coach, and went on a deep dive and couldn't find anything on either guy. So I forgot. That's a reasonable mistake for any NFL historian.
Wait, should Belichick be on the list? We're talking about the greatest NFL coaching characters of all time.
Like awkward, like characters, but we mentioned fun people. He's sort of dour.
Yeah, but he's, I mean.
But he is a character,
he's
I guess,
a character,
right?
The hoodie, the cheating.
But is he having fun with it, though?
Well, if you believe everyone that knows him and say that he's like funny and different in person, then he is like playing a character as the coach.
Hmm.
I don't believe that.
I mean, I wouldn't put him on the list.
Yeah.
But
I get it. This cutoff hoodies, that's some kind of character.
Like a signature kind of thing. Quickly, Wilson's in California. Wilson, who's the greatest NFL coaching character of all time?
Well, good morning. Nice to talk to you guys again. I offer to you perhaps the best head coach mic'd up in Super Bowl history, Super Bowl IV, Hank Stram.
Yeah, the matriculating down the field, and we have some of that. Let's hear it.
64, come on, get up there faster, G. Craft. You're too slow. Come on, come on. Oh, it's too slow. Get the Humperdinck over here. You ever want a job running one of these machines, let me know. I'll write you a nice recommendation.
That's it?
Yeah. What was it, 64 toss powered trap or something like that?
Yeah, Wilson, fantastic one. Hank Stram. You know, we also had a little Mike Ditka sound. Let's play a little of that.
Doesn't matter which one run. There'll be a quarterback that'll be named next week that'll be the starter. There's three quarterbacks on this football team. Whichever one starts, whichever ones don't, will back him up. Period. Cut and dry.
It's nobody's concern but ours. Nobody's. Next.
Injuries from the game.
Talk to the trainer. Next.
Wow.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care? Okay. If you were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood, too.
No, Bears. Oh, awesome. All right. Keep them coming. The greatest NFL coaching characters of all times, our great debate. What's up, folks?
As we've already discussed this morning, a pseudo-suspension for Jalen Carter for spitting on Dak Prescott Thursday night. Since he did so before the first snap of the game, the NFL says Carter has already served a one-game suspension. He is also losing his game check, which is roughly $57,000. And the Eagles have also agreed not to use this punishment to try and get back any guaranteed money from Carter in the future. Pearl also gets a win from the Niners yesterday, who are finally waiving kicker Jake Moody. And George Kittle goes on IR with that hamstring injury. San Francisco has four games in the next 23 days, and Kittle's likely to miss all of them, so they might as well open a roster spot. I was told that Trent Grisham robbed a homer for the Yankees last night. Thank goodness he did, or they would have lost 13-2 instead.
Pitch. Swing on, line drive to the gap in left center field. All kinds of trouble. That'll play two more. Kerry Carpenter thinking three. He's going to get there, too. And in with a pop-up slide, a two-run triple. Kerry Carpenter. And the doors have been blown off here at the stadium. It's 10-2 Detroit.
So the New York Yankees, damn it.
Yeah, the professional play-by-play from Dave Sims, the very personal, are you kidding me, from Susan Waldman. But I can't blame her.
Hey now!
Tigers in the midst of scoring 9 runs in the 7th inning. The runs charged to relievers Fernando Cruz and Mark Leiter Jr. That dynamic duo did not record an out while walking 4 and hitting a batter.
I wish someone would explain it to me.
Plus some hits to fuel the 9-run inning.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
No.
At some point during that inning, I think it was after the 5th run where I realized, it was like the SpongeBob meme where I just kind of got up and said, all right, I'm getting ready for bed. I'm out.
You got to realize something here, Manny, in this digital age.
Dímelo.
You are leaving quite a footprint that if, heaven forbid, something ever happened to Trent Grisham, like he ends up in a freezer somewhere, you are going to be the number one suspect.
Yeah.
The undying blind love that Manny shows to Trent Grisham in
that's baseball
is it's borderline psychotic.
And obsession.
I'm just here to just, this should count. If the authorities ever, if something bad ever happens to Trent Grisham, I'm not going to win. Manny didn't do it.
Listen, I think if he was going to kill Trent Grisham, I think he would then try to replace him on the field. Like, we'd be watching the Yankees game. I'm like, wow, Trent Grisham looks a lot like Manny right now. I mean, like, take over Trent Grisham.
I mean, Trent Grisham is 5'10". I'm 5'9". We both have a mustache. All I have to do is just gain another 40 pounds of muscle.
And
a little bit of skill, probably. And I'll be all right. I could be Trent Grisham.
Just make sure you secure the skin suit correctly so it doesn't fall off and reveal your identity.
If he shaved the mustache, would you still be into him?
No.
That is sad.
Does he hit another 30 home runs for the Yankees?
Also, too, are you a righty or a lefty?
I'm a switch hitter, baby.
Okay.
I'll switch it up. I'm a switch, you know what I mean?
And the highest level you played at was?
Freshman baseball.
Same. What else you got, Bob?
Well, that 12-2 Yankee loss drops them 3 games behind the Jays in the AL East. Toronto fought off Houston 4-3-10 last night. The Bombers also in a virtual tie with their friends from Boston. That's atop the wild card standings because the Sox blanked the A's in Sacramento 6-0. Connelly early, K-ing 11 over 5 shutout innings in his big league debut.
Cle'Anthony Early?
Yes. The Seattle Storm clinched the final WNBA playoff spot with a 74-73 home win over Golden State. And U.S. men's soccer back to its winning ways.
Roldan.
I love you.
Richard Rim.
Fíjate el equipo de Japón, cómo se repliega y la distancia entre líneas.
Arsten.
Another one.
Golazo de Sendejas.
Manny, that is
Andrés Cantor, the Argentinian legend himself.
On Telemundo.
Correcto, sí.
And when they were, when he was done yelling, they'd already resumed play.
Well, NBC Universo, if we're going to be technical. But okay. Yeah, I mean, I love being Latino. I love listening to this guy.
He is great.
I love listening to him every Saturday, listening to him call English soccer games. And, you know, once in a while, he'll throw the English name in there, and it just throws me off balance. He also does games. He also calls games in English, too. This guy's a unicorn. I love him.
I do love when this is universal, it's not just in Spanish, but in any language foreign to ours, when somebody is talking like in their native tongue, but then says like, you know,
Yankees
or just like Alex Freeman.
Yeah. You know,
they say it very.
And those, the Alexis Diaz, Trent Grisham.
Exactly. And we do it the other way. You know, we just are talking, then it's just like, you know.
Andre's got a lot.
Julio Rodriguez is like, that doesn't sound right coming out of our mouths.
The U.S. beat Japan last night 2-0 in a friendly in Columbus. They had lost their previous two matches.
I love how they had the best Japanese soccer players in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to the States, guys. Nice. Where are we going? New York, L.A., Columbus, Ohio.
Well, got to check out the horseshoe.
I like Columbus.
We've all been
there.
Got
like a little Italy thing going.
Yeah, well, when you think of vacation spots in America, where does Columbus, Ohio rank there?
Right, and what might be your only trip to America?
Exactly, like
72 hours in Columbus.
I finally get to go to the United States to go. Well, I mean, they qualify for the World Cup, so they'll be coming. So, I guess that argument's moot.
I always thought that when we would have foreign exchange students come to Binghamton, New York, this
Where
is America.
Are you from? I'm from Tokyo. How'd you end up in Binghamton?
Exactly.
Who was mad at you back at home that sent you to Binghamton?
It's like, is that a skyscraper? It's like, no, it is not. That's the one building we have downtown. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN.
888-710-4.
She's holding my hand weird.
Well, there's a university there, so there's obviously a lot of foreign students.
It's like Marshawn Lynch when he went out to Buffalo. I thought I was going to be in New York City. It's 8 hours away.
Yeah. Marshawn, I think, spent most of his time in Toronto
and in Applebee's.
The Applebee's in Toronto. Good time. 888-710-4. I said the question for you today is our great debate.
Hennessy.
The greatest NFL character, as far as coaches are concerned, coaching character of all time. Just go around the horn again. Perloff picked Buddy Ryan. I picked Jim Harbaugh. EJ picked Jerry Glanville. Manny picked John Madden.
Boom.
And Bogus picked Bum Phillips. So that's a little bit of the smattering of suggestions for you.
All over the place, but love it.
888-710-4ISN. Come on back.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Boy, these guys are almost gutless. And the ones that aren't that are brainless.
It's going to be a good day with Maggie and Perloff.
Man, John McKay, what a character as a coach. Our great debate today is who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time? It was inspired by Mike McDaniel, but we're going right back into...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the old days, and we're even getting emails about John McKay to Maggie and Perloff at gmail.com. You guys love him.
Okay, when Mike McDaniel is done coaching, is he going to be remembered more like Adam Gase, who was weird but not in a fun way, or is he going to be remembered more like Rex Ryan, who was a character in more of a fun way? Like, where's Mike McDaniel on the spectrum? Because Adam Gase, you could be a character, but not in a positive way.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Gase sort of just disappeared off the face of the earth. You know, Rex is sitting next to Mike Greenberg every morning cracking jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, I mean, but Gase is like, he's a character, but not in a good way. Like, nobody... Gase was not having any fun. He would roll his eyes in this weird way and do all kinds of strange stuff.
Right. So I think the other part of this, we're talking about, who is the greatest NFL coaching character of all time. I think you have to have won a little bit to probably be remembered in this way.
In this way, yeah. So right, I don't think McDaniel's remembered as a fun, well, he has a winning record.
Like, I was thinking like Chip Kelly as the head coach of the Eagles in San Francisco. Like, he's not going to be remembered as a great character.
Like, Jim Tom Sula was a character. Didn't he have that line about the bathroom or something?
Yeah, I remember. D.A. used to say he looked like a plumber who got the job as the head coach of the 49ers. I think that he was a character, but I don't know. Was he in on the joke?
No.
Right.
That's the thing. But Mike McDaniel tries to be in on the joke with the funny press conferences and seems really funny.
Yeah, but he doesn't win enough to make it. It's turned from quirky to annoying because your team went to Indianapolis and got smoked.
Yeah, what am I? Why do I think Jim Tomsula has a just something bathroom related?
He might.
Or gas related or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Actually, Darren Rizzi, if you recall, was the special teams coach for the Saints last year. And when Dennis Allen got fired, he got the job and said, they said, were you nervous for your first game? And he's like, well, basically, like, I've been in the bathroom all morning.
Somebody call a plumber.
I love stories. They're old stories. I think it's Parcells who... People would want to interview him after the game, and he'd have to go to the bathroom. He's like, come on in here. We're gonna do this while I'm sitting on the toilet.
So
I like
gross.
That. I like, oh.
Yeah, like asking questions. Like, at least you're getting probably honesty. I'd do
it. But you can't do it if you're, that's a number one only.
For an interview? No.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm taking a leak.
But Bill Parcells is like, I have to watch tape. I have a lot going on. Like,
in the bathroom?
No. He's multitasking, so he's doing the interview with Gary Myers or whatever. And, I think it's Parcells. Is anyway, we got to double check this story. I like it.
Trying to do my research on Jim Tomsula. It sounds like he had a lot of weird jobs. One of them was he was a night janitor. Maybe that's where the bathroom thing comes in.
Well, and Maggie said he kind of looked like a plumber.
Well, yeah, that was right, DA it, who right. said that. I want to give him full credit.
Yeah.
He also at one point was a medical equipment sales rep, a firewood cutter.
What?
A newspaper delivery man.
He
cleaned floors at a department store, food sales rep, and was a doormat salesman.
A couple others. You haven't mentioned your guy, Mike Singletary, by the way. He's
that
on a
guy,
lot of these lists. He says some
favorite.
Weird stuff.
It took me so much strength not to pick Mike Singletary because of what you guys just said. Like, you have to be like around enough and be good enough to be remembered. And because he was such a great player, I think people forget how insane he was as a head coach.
We're going to be here all day, baby.
I mean, this guy literally took his pants off in the locker room to say his team was getting pantsed.
You know what's funny? There are we've paused here on a few 49ers head coaches.
Hey,
have you
baby.
Noticed that? Like, the 49ers, they're all over the map when they hire head coaches. I mean, they've had, obviously, maybe the greatest of all time in Bill Walsh, or one of the greatest, but, you know, they've had some characters. Chip Kelly, Jim Tomsula, they went through it. Jim Harbaugh, obviously. They've had a few interesting dudes.
Shanahan's relatively straight-laced.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like Mike Shanahan was pretty straight-laced, too. It's kind of like in this day and age, also, you can't even, you know, think about, we're going to talk about Brian Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing the rule about the fact that an elbow equals 2 feet might stay with him for the rest of his life. Back in the 80s and 90s, when you didn't have social media, I think, to keep all this stuff alive forever, you could probably get past certain, like, faux pas.
But, I mean, that there are certain things that became iconic, like Jim Morris saying playoffs, Eddie Green, crown him.
Yep.
Like, there are some things that become immortalized
playoffs?
Via clips. Yeah. I don't know. But you're right. Now every little detail is picked apart.
Totally. All right, so keep them coming, guys. The greatest NFL coaching characters of all time. Big Friendly in Cali. What's up, Big Friendly?
Good morning, Magsy Malone, EJ, the Bionic EP, Daddy Lukewarm, Little Big Swifty, Manny Big Bucks. Let me get that loan, baby. I'm good on the VIG. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, real quick, Magsy, before I come to your table and I have a serious conversation with Daddy Cool. Rex Ryan had one of the greatest sound bites in history. I have stepped over tougher guys than him to get to a fight.
That's now, awesome. Yeah.
Magsy Malone, when I come to your table, I come with respect and I try to come with as much facts as possible. Yesterday, Magsy Malone, Daddy Cool had said some slander and disrespectful things about the Rams. Your caller made a disrespectful mark about my Rams. We were not worried about the cold. In the pregame, they were out there with no shirts on. Now, Magsy Malone, am I the only one paying attention to NFL geography, understanding that all football players are not only born in sunny Southern California or sunny Florida? Now, Daddy Cool.
Yes.
My man.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you that. I can see your hands right now, so I don't need to ask you to show me your hands. The Rams last year, yes, lost to your Eagles in the playoffs. The Rams were the only team that made your Eagles go on podcasts and interviews and say they made us nervous. Mm-hmm. We are healthy, Daddy Cool.
Yeah.
If the Rams stay healthy, that's the if. Are you honestly saying that we can't bang with the best of them if we stay healthy?
Wait, I'm still sorry, Big Friendly. I'm a little confused. Are we talking about football or horseshoes? Because a near loss doesn't really count for much in my world.
Oh.
Daddy Cool, I love it. You got him today. Your wife must have made you a great breakfast. Let's get into the weeds. So real quick, Daddy Cool, let's talk football.
All right.
Your Eagles are the defending, yeah, reigning Super Bowl champions, and I will respect that. In 2 weeks, they have to lock horns with the mounted horns of L.A., and I don't think the outcome's going to be the same as last year. Now, we made a show bet, but Daddy Cool, please, my good man, with all due respect, let's not have slander against the Rams. Then we would have to file a case against you, and I would hate to do that.
All right, buddy.
Friendly, we hear you. We see you. Thank you for the phone call. That's going to be a good game. That's in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, Philly's got the Chiefs this week, and that's a tough matchup. And then the Rams, this is not going to be easy.
Yeah, your schedule. Woo. At KC, Rams, at Tampa, Denver. That's not easy.
No, not good.
Big news out of Denver yesterday, too, that Perloff wasn't too happy about, I imagine.
We will get to that. We did get some news out of Denver. We've got everything for you, including those year two quarterbacks. Remember that class that was going straight to Canton? Let's check on them, shall we? Maggie Perloff.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.